What do you think?
I think we're dead meat. Real dead meat.
You're dead meat! Go ahead and laugh, you guys. If I ever find a little passes of business, you're dead meat.
Welcome to the Dead Meat Podcast, an extension of the YouTube channel Dead Meat. I'm James A. Janice.
I'm Chelsea Rebecca, and we're boyfriend and girlfriend, and we like to get scared together.
Yeah, we do. We do.
And we got not that scared during this week's episode, where we watched the movie Wrong Turn.
Yeah. We watched this because right now we're kind of trying to appease the people who want kill counts of certain things, but they're just going to have to wait for them. A lot of people have requested Wrong Turn, so we figured, hey, we'd check it out, do a little review of it.
Yeah, I got a lot of emails requesting this one too, so, you know, I thought we'd check it out. And, you know, not to yuck anyone's yums, but how does this have, how many other movies? Five?
There are six Wrong Turns total.
What?
That many times, you're bound to make a right turn.
Maybe. We should have looked at the ratings for the other.
Apparently,
you know,
the second one is the highest rated.
Interesting.
The best regarded. And apparently, 2 and 3 are sequels, and then 4, 5, 6 are prequels. That's right.
I just, you know, I didn't have any burning questions about the, I don't think they have a name. I just realized the,
oh, the Mountain Men. I think they're
is
just
that
the
what
Mountain
they're
Men
called? Okay.
I believe it's the Mountain Men.
They are their names, like Snaggletooth.
It's Sawtooth, Three Finger, and One Eye, something like that.
They're like TLC.
So yeah, Wrong Turn, 2003, directed by Rob Schmidt, produced by Stan Winston.
Yeah.
Stan Winston, major childhood. Stan Winston is a visual effects artist, and Stan Winston Studios does visual effects for movies. He did a little known movie called Jurassic Park. He also did Aliens, Iron Man. So Stan Winston, very well-renowned visual effects person who produced Wrong Turn.
Mm-hmm.
The 2003 horror movie.
Did he have a hand in any of the makeup? Okay, he did.
Yes. Effects were done by Stan Winston Studios. Okay. Presumably him personally.
Sure.
Yeah. So he did like the Mountain Men effects.
Okay.
I guess some of the gore, although, I guess the gore's okay. I was a little worried at first when a couple of the kills early on were off screen. Like the first four are all pretty off screen, but then they make up for it. There's a pretty cool death in this.
Yeah, there's some cool ones.
Yeah, there's some cool ones.
Yeah. We start with a cold open for this movie, mm-hmm. which is always exciting. And I liked this cold open.
Oh, the rock climbing?
I think it was all downhill from there.
Ah.
A little bit. Oh, God. I didn't mean to make that joke.
Chelsea hates jokes like that, but
I do,
she's really good at making them.
I make them on accident a lot. No, it was a fun cold open. So we've got a couple, and they're mountain climbing, and the girl's lagging behind, and she's like, babe, just pull me up, I can't. And he's like, basically just going off to explore. And
yeah,
he's like, no, fuck you,
I'll
you're
see
fine.
You when you get up here.
Yeah. And so then she hears some noises, and her boyfriend,
he gets thwacked off screen. It's a real good thwack that you hear. And then of course his body like partially falls over the edge, and then some blood drips down onto her.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fun scene when the killer, whoever it is up there, it's the Mountain Men, start pulling her up on her rope, and then she like tries to disengage and can't, and so she like cuts the line.
That's cool. And she jumps to her boyfriend's rope and tries to climb down, and then she falls, and it looks like it hurts really bad.
Yeah, you don't want to fall
while
rock climbing, but she's able to get up and run.
Yeah.
Until she gets tripped by barbed wire.
Yeah.
The barbed wire thing, and then I think just pulled off screen.
Yeah. And then it's cut to titles, which I liked that little open. It was like a nice little short film.
Yeah, it really was.
You know?
So this is a movie that takes place in West Virginia, which is, by most accounts, I would say the most rural state of the United States, or at least, you know, the eastern ruralness, not Wild West.
Yeah,
type rural. Rural is hard to say.
Yeah, I feel like this has been the case for many decades. If, you know, you had to name a working class state, go.
West Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's coal country.
Yeah, that's Appalachia.
That is poverty.
It is.
It's like
poverty.
Extreme poverty.
Which is unfortunate. And so I will say off the bat that this is one of those movies where it's the city folk coming in and getting murdered and hunted by the redneck mountain men, the Appalachian men.
Mm-hmm.
This is a subgenre of its own at this point. They even name drop Deliverance, which
they
is
do,
like the best indication of this. But there was a whole chapter devoted to this in the post 9/11 horror book that we often cite.
Mm-hmm.
About this trend of city people coming in and getting destroyed by nature and the inhabitants of that nature. And you know what? Sometimes it kind of rubs me the wrong way because it's...
A little bit, because sometimes you get weird undertones of fear of poor people.
Yeah.
It's like a class fear kind of thing.
It's a very classist thing sometimes.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, this is always... been there. Hills Have Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Even Texas Chainsaw Massacre, a little bit. I feel like in a lot of these movies, it's also kind of implied there's like some incest going on.
Oh, or this isn't even implied. The opening credits is really long opening credits,
yeah,
by the way. You get basically every single person that worked on this, which is cool because movies don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But you get basically a slideshow of newspaper articles that are like psychotic side effects of inbreeding, and then weird pictures of deformed babies and stuff.
Yeah, like hunchbacks and stuff like
that.
It
reminded me of that new Slenderman trailer, just the way it was edited. If you guys haven't seen that trailer, it looks not good. But I can't wait to see it.
Hell yeah, Javier Botet.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
We're kind of obsessed with Javier Botet, who's playing Slenderman. He is wonderful. I would love to interview him.
Mm-hmm.
He is an amazing character actor and has scared the fuck out of me many times.
He's a very handsome man.
He is. He's super handsome.
Yeah. So this is West Virginia backcountry. That's the setting for this movie. That's what we're in. I've got to say that... So I saw this when it came out probably, and then not since then. So it was slowly coming back to me as I was watching it. And watching it, you know, I'm like, why does this movie need to be made? We've seen this all before. But in the end, I think it's an all right iteration of this movie.
So what do you think makes it different from other movies, which we kind of termed Sawney Bean movies?
Yes.
After, if you listen to our horror movies inspired by true events episode, you know that Sawney Bean is a Scottish folktale about an inbred family of cannibals. And so it directly inspired The Hills Have Eyes. So there's kind of, you know,
yeah,
think about it. Horror has its own little family of films.
And for me, that Off Season by Jack Ketchum, which I had read shortly before recording that podcast, and which I think some viewers have picked up and read after I mentioned it, which is like,
do you traumatize them?
It's the most graphic thing I've ever read. But that's what I think of when I see stories like this is Off Season. And yeah, Sawney Bean, which Off Season was directly based on Sawney Bean.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a Sawney Bean story. As far as what makes it different goes, I don't think anything.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything that stands out that's like, this is why this movie needed to get made, to show this thing. But I think the sum of its parts ended up being okay. For me, there are a lot of memorable set pieces. You got like the abandoned cars, like the junkyard. That scene's good with the classic military maneuver. There's like the watchtower and the treetops, as ridiculous as those scenes are, they stand out to me,
man.
And they're memorable.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And maybe it's just having had seen it when it came out.
Sure.
As a new time viewer, how do you feel about
the
assessment?
The scene with all the abandoned cars reminded me of the Texas Chainsaw remake. Cause isn't there a scene in that where they find a whole lot of abandoned cars? Am I imagining that?
I can't keep them straight anymore.
I don't know.
Because all these movies are like this.
I don't know. It was fine. It's not my favorite, but I did laugh very hard at a few things that probably weren't supposed to be that funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was entertained, and sometimes that's what you want. You know, sometimes you don't want to be intellectually challenged during a movie. You just want to watch something dumb. And
it had enough different stuff going on
all
the time.
Sure, yeah.
The characters kept moving to different places.
Yeah.
Enough to keep my interest.
Yeah.
And it's a short little guy. It's 80-some minutes, so good job. Wrong Turn. So overall, I feel like it's a mediocre movie. That's fine.
James, I forgot when you said classic military maneuver. This is a line in this movie that has become such an inside joke in the couple days since we've watched it that I forgot it even came from this.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So after that cold open and the long credits, we open in on our classic shots of all the trees, all the wilderness, just to show you, oh, this is a big wilderness country. It's in Greenbrier backcountry, West Virginia. And there is a super bland dude.
Oh, man, our main character is bland. Yeah. Look. Oh, have you ever been to West Virginia? I forget if you...
West Virginia is one of the very few states in the Union that I have not even driven through, I think.
Okay.
Because it's kind of situated in a way to where, like, why would you need to?
We purposely went there on a vacation when I was a kid. Yeah. We stayed in a cabin. I fucking loved it. Because we went around Christmas time. And so if we have any listeners who live in or around Wheeling, West Virginia, we stayed there. They have a crazy ass Christmas light show where you can drive around and they have just thousands and thousands of Christmas lights. And you can take a little horse-drawn carriage. And so that's what we did.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Just remember driving through the mountains and stuff, and I really liked it.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of experience in the Appalachian Mountains with Western Pennsylvania because I had family there, so we would visit that growing up.
Yeah, so I have personally good associations with West Virginia because I enjoyed it as a child.
That's good.
Yeah.
Our main dude is played by Desmond Harrington, I believe best known for his role on Dexter. He came in season 3 as Joey. He ended up being romantically involved with Dexter's sister Deb, who was played by Michael C. Hall's wife, which was weird.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but I think they got divorced during the show's run.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this dude, I'm sorry.
He is I don't know if it's a him problem or a director problem, but
Every
line is like this.
Oh, okay, yeah. As far as the line delivery goes, yeah, yeah. He gets a little bit more lively later.
Oh, like a little more lively, you know?
But other than that, he's mostly pretty straight-faced. Yeah. And he's a doctor.
Yeah, we gather do we learn he's a doctor right away? He's you know, dressed nicely.
We learn that he's a city folk right away.
He's a city boy. He's got a nice car, and he's very clean-cut, and he gets stuck in traffic.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. So he hops out of his car, and he walks up to the semi-truck to see what's up, and the guy you expect is going to pop out of this truck does. The guy yep. just sticks his head out the window and is like, hello.
Yeah. No, commit. Do it. What do you got here?
No,
what do you got there? Because you started to sound a little bit like Donovan from Survivor.
Part of my strategy, you know, is to be a fun-loving, dancing, you know, type of individual.
Go ahead and do your Donovan. It'll work.
So Chris walks up and asks what's going on. And
the trucker says,
oh, God, what was the reason there's traffic?
Chemical spill out the way.
Oh, there's chemicals fell up the way. It's going to be backed up for about 2 or 3 hours.
Is this offensive?
It's what that character sounded like.
He sounds like a cartoon character. Yeah.
He's got, I mean, a lot of this cast, the native West Virginians of this cast have basically those novelty Bubba teeth in that you can buy at Party City. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Especially the gas station owner.
That's when I wrote that note, gas station owner. He has a single tooth, you guys.
Yeah, he literally
does.
It's
pretty amazing.
So the truck owner, or the truck driver, I hope he owns his truck. I hope he's well off enough to own that truck. But yeah, he explains that there's a chemical spill up the way. And then he makes fun of the guy for like, oh, do your hair a lot or something like that. And like the guy just has like a buzz cut.
I thought that was weird too.
It was a weird thing. It felt like they wrote that line into the script
before they cast anyone.
And then they cast him and was like, he has really short hair. Just leave the
just
line.
Leave it. It's fine.
I can't come up with an alt.
Yeah. They get back in your car and what is it? Like smooth hair over a few more times.
Yeah. And that's a funny moment when he says that, and the main guy, Chris, is, like, his reaction. I thought that was funny, because he was like, okay, thanks, and then just leaves.
He's like, oh, I see how this is going to be.
Yeah, exactly. I like that.
So this guy is not going to sit in traffic for a few hours.
Nope.
Well,
he's got a business
meeting. Yeah, a business.
He's got doctor business.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's got doctor business. Got to get there, got to order some scalpels.
Yeah, he's got... Yeah, they have to wash all the medical equipment. They have to sterilize everything. It's very important.
It's very important.
He's got to be somewhere in a few hours. So he drives backwards? How does this work?
He gets off the highway and
He somehow gets off the highway.
Yeah, he goes back and goes to a gas station where our one tooth Willie is sitting
That's right.
The dirtiest man you've ever seen.
Yeah. Is this when he takes, does he take the wrong turn to get to this gas station? I think we see.
No. I think the wrong turn is getting
on
Bear Country.
Oh, is that road? Okay.
Yeah. Bear Mile Road.
So yeah. So he stops at this gas station, which is, but you know, it's the gas station from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Yeah.
It's the gas station from Cabin
in
the
Woods.
Yeah. It's the one that's based on.
So you have a man with one tooth who...
chugging Pepto-Bismol.
Ew, I forgot. He's not even, like, you know, taking a sip of it. He's just sitting there drinking Pepto-Bismol like it's a beer. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Like it's a beer and he's trying to get day drunk.
Honestly... I think that's such a good touch because you immediately know something is fucked up, you know?
Yeah.
No one does that. If you do, what the fuck? Because Pepto-Bismol is gross.
No, it's not.
So, I was going to say, good. Some people like it. It's disgusting.
I think I like it.
Would you sit there and drink it like
No. Not unless I had an excuse to.
The gas station man tells Chris, well, there's this road that goes around basically where all the traffic is. You can take that instead.
He doesn't even do that. Chris brings it upon himself. He looks at the map and is like, what's this dotted line, Bear Mile Road or whatever?
Oh, okay.
And the guy's like, I don't know much about that.
Oh, yeah.
And then Chris is like,
thank you very much. You take care, okay?
You're the one going to need take care.
You're the one going to need take care.
Yep. We poke fun because literally every West Virginian character in this movie is that stereotype.
It's so funny.
And they're all such dicks to him. And he's not even like a bad guy. Normally in these movies, like in Deliverance and stuff, the out-of-towner, the city folk, they're like arrogant and rude.
Yeah. This guy's a doctor.
Yeah, and he's done nothing wrong. He's very pleasant
he's
and
polite.
He's just
boring as fuck.
Yeah, he's just boring. Yeah, he's too boring to be mean.
He just is a city folk.
Yeah.
Therefore, bad.
So Chris takes off from the gas station and...
He makes the wrong turn.
There he is.
There it is.
He makes the wrong turn onto Bear Mile Road.
Oh, it's Bear Mountain Road.
You're right. I wrote Bear Mile. Bear Mile Mountain Road is a dirt road that he drives onto and immediately proves himself as the most distracted driver.
The most city folk driver because sees a dead deer and can't stop looking at it.
He like is adjusting his rear view mirror to look at it. And then, but that's only after he drops a CD, a Queens of the Stone Age CD. So I get it.
That's,
you want to listen
to
that.
Yeah, you want to pick that back up.
But he's like
floor.
Fishing for it. And like, dude, you're the only car on this road. Pull over and do this.
So he immediately runs right into a car that has all the other main characters in it.
There's six of them. They're all sexy teens.
Sexy teens.
One of them is Jeremy Sisto from Suburgatory. And even though this is a mere 7 years before that show when he plays the sexy dad in it, here he looks like a baby. But I immediately recognize him because of his voice.
He's got a really distinct voice.
It's a very cool voice.
It is, yeah.
And he's also like 6'3". This is a great man, Jeremy Sisto.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be fine if I died and came back as Jeremy Sisto. So Jeremy Sisto's there. Eliza Dushku.
Yeah, she's the last character that we meet, and we get this kind of hot girl reveal of
hot
her.
Hot girl reveal.
Like, we meet all the other characters. So we've got Jeremy Sisto, we got his fiance, Emmanuel
Emmanuel, whatever, was it?
Shrieky, I think?
Sure, and her name is Sporty Spice is what her name is, because that outfit is just
and
so...
And her hair, too? She is Sporty Spice.
Yeah, she's got, like, the sweatpants and then the crop top, tight fit tank top, and then, yeah, like, the ponytail, the high ponytail. He's just marrying Sporty Spice, which, I mean, it's 2003.
I mean...
That's fine.
A few of them have some Spice Girls, like the...
They're all doing the...
Francine's got some Spice Girls hair, too.
Mm. And they're all got the midriffs.
It's residual 90s
it's residual
fashion,
90s.
For sure. So it's Evan and Francine.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gonna stay with the car
while
everyone else goes to look for a gas station or a phone or something.
Something. But like Chris knows that there's not a phone and he brings that up. I forget why they're going back to the gas station or whatever. I don't know. They have to go away from the car.
They need to get away from this damn car.
So that Jeremy, or not Jeremy, so that Evan can get a friggin' Jeep grill blowjob.
Yes. First they light up, which is nice.
They get real high.
They get real high. And then then Francine gives him a blowjob on
like,
the roof of the car.
Drop those pants.
Drop those pants, boy. Don't be a sissy.
Oh, she does say that.
Yeah.
That was a good Francine.
Thank you.
Then he gets an off-screen blowjob from her just on the hood of this car.
So they're going to die.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's how we know.
That's how we know they're going to die.
Yep.
So while the others are away, they get killed.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Francine sucks, by the way.
She does. She's just tossing. She's going through. They're not even in their car. They're in Chris's car.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're looking through Chris's stuff, and they're throwing his CDs all over the place.
Yeah. CDs, dude. You can't
and they're
scratch
eating
those.
His granola bars.
She's eating them.
Oh, yeah.
And he's asking if she found any food, and she's like,
no.
No, I haven't done nothing.
And then Kevin just disappears.
Evan. But he's played by Kevin?
Yes. Oh, Evan okay. just disappears. And
yeah, that's it.
It's... I guess inbreeding makes you very quiet. That's one of the side effects. Because he is just like spirited away.
Yeah. He like evaporates.
Yeah.
And then Francine gets garrotted through the mouth.
Oh, nice.
With some barbed wire.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it for them.
Yeah.
That was real fast.
Cut back to the other people walking around.
The main people.
There's some fake jump scares, which I don't appreciate.
Oh, yeah, because they're
scaring
each other.
The fiance scares. Yeah, they're all scaring each other.
Yeah. I think that's when he mentions they mentioned Deliverance in the
Yeah, and while they're walking to the house, they eventually find Jeremy's sister and his fiance, Emmanuel. That's their real names. I don't remember their character names. They're talking about their wedding, and he suggests maybe eloping, and she says...
I think if you ever want to get in my pants again...
Affirmative.
This is the last time you use the E-word, okay?
Don't you ever say the E-word again.
He also goes off on this whole thing about the wedding singer, and he's like...
I think we should hire a, a Frank Sinatra type lead singer for the band as opposed to a James Brown type lead singer, because... You know, really, let's be honest, there's only one James Brown, and, you know, a faux James Brown is really quite intolerable.
It makes it sound like for every wedding, you have to pick between a James Brown singer and a Frank Sinatra singer.
Yeah.
Because he was like, nothing's worse than a fake James Brown singer. It's like, what is this dialogue?
It's very weird. I can't tell if that was written or they asked him to riff. Because it smells a little bit like, okay, just talk about, planning your wedding, go. And he is just...
Yeah.
Making up this kind of weird thing.
If it's a riff, that's fine. That's a decent riff.
Yeah.
Carly is her name. They eventually find this dirty old house, and there's a bunch of dirty old stuff in it, like bone stew.
Oh, yeah.
And then jars of jaws and teeth, and, you got your usual Ed Gein type stuff going on here, just body parts and skin and belongings of other people who have... met the fate that these people surely will soon.
At one point, Carly tells Jeremy's sister that she is pissed off and she's ready to get out of here, and I want to go to a motel, and you're going to draw me a bath and be prepared to give me lots of orgasms.
Oh, yeah.
Ew, she wants to take a bath at a motel. Yeah. You freak. That's
she
so
wants
gross.
To take a bath in a motel in rural West Virginia.
No.
Sorry, Carly, but if that's your MO, if that's your lifestyle, you've got something. You just can't be doing that.
Yeah, that's nasty.
That's a gross thing. So, that's almost as gross as the bone stew they find.
Yeah, it's almost as gross as this house that they're just like, they're just pawing at stuff in.
Yeah.
They're touching everything. And there's, they start seeing piles of sunglasses that look pretty new and a princess tiara that looks like a little kid's tiara.
Oh, no, they stole a princess.
Oh, no.
They kidnapped a princess.
They keep finding all these weird piles of things.
They go to leave right when the mountain men come back, and they got a tow truck and they're towing their vehicles. They see that their vehicles are all towed.
Yeah.
And then they have to hide because they can't get out the back door. So they hide together. Chris and Eliza Dushku hide underneath the table, and Jeremy Sisto and his fiance, Carly, just hide behind a door.
They're in some other room.
They're just in another room.
Yeah.
But they are able to witness through a keyhole in a very CG crazy shot.
Oh, my God. This shot is out of control.
There's some of those shots in this movie where it's like, it's that early CG, but the director just must have been like, I have a really cool idea for a shot. We can use CG to make it happen, right?
Yeah.
And they do. and it's fine, but like it's early CG.
It's
so it looks a little weird. It's
swooping
just a little
shot where it's a bunch of shit comped on top of itself. It's a shot that swoops through this keyhole and you see the girl's eye and you see her friend getting chopped up reflected in her eye. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, the idea is cool. It just looks kind of weird.
It just looks like in 10 years later, that would have been a very good, nothing wrong with that shot.
Sure, yeah.
It's fine. It just feels
like you
weird.
Were gonna say good, but then nothing wrong with it. Fine, it's shot.
It's fine.
Yeah,
but yeah, they see Francine's body getting mutilated
by creatures.
They're the mountain men.
They're basically creatures.
Yeah, there's three of them. Like we said earlier,
don't hear them talk.
You hear them, and I don't. You never hear them talk.
They just make sounds.
Three finger giggles.
Yeah,
he's the little giggler guy running around. He's also played by a dude. He's played by a dude named Julian Richings, who is in Saw 4. I didn't really touch on this scene at all in my kill count, so this is just for the Saw heads out there. But it's in Saw 4 when Rig goes to the motel for one of his tasks, and he walks in and there's like the junky homeless guy sitting there in the lobby, and he starts yelling at Rig and he almost gets into a fight with him. That's Julian Riching.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And that's
good,
that's
stuff.
Yeah, the guy who laughs, the giggler in here.
Yeah, so they you know, we got everything. We've got cleft palates, we've got hunchbacks, we've got weird fingers, we've got mottled skin. Like, it's just like, you know, hair that's growing
patchy
in patches, you know, every...
Their eyes are all fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every, you know, possible birth defect you could have via inbreeding, they got it.
Yep. So apparently after they chop up and eat Francine, it's nap time. They all just take a nap.
Oh, yeah, it's like post-Thanksgiving nap. They're all tired.
They got the itis.
When our main characters try to make their escape.
I like how they just go to sleep where they are.
Yeah.
They, like, don't go into another room or anything. They just pass out on tabletops and shit where they are.
Yeah.
But that allows our main characters to sneak out. But on the way out, there's a fun thing with, like, a metal coil in the door, and Chris grabs it to be quiet, and his hand starts bleeding.
There's a few times they bump into some stuff where they make a noise, and it's kind of Looney Tunes.
Yeah. But so Chris holds the door open, and everyone else gets out, and then Chris looks back. And one of them
just looking at him,
he's just laying there with his eyes open, just like, hey,
so
where are you going, man?
And then they all run and
up a hill.
This house is situated off a road, kind of back a ways. There's a field in front of it, and behind it, there's a very, very steep hill, borderline mountain. So, which way do they go? They run up the hill,
straight up this hill.
Fuck it, let's go uphill. By the way, in my notes I have manicure watch for Emmanuelle Shrieky's character. At this point, her manicure is still perfect. She has French manicure. Her nails are really clean and just really good.
What is a French manicure?
It's when you got the tips. It's not super popular anymore. It's when your nails are really long and they're square shaped on top.
Okay.
And the tip is painted white and the rest of the nail is just kind of nail color.
Oh.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
That's not a thing anymore?
Not really.
Interesting.
I could see it making a comeback.
You never really think of nail fashion as going through stages and changing.
Oh, it does.
I believe it.
Yeah. But anyway, her French manicure looking great this whole movie somehow. I wrote here that I like all of the, there's a lot of wide panning shots that are kind of flat. Like they're almost like the shots in the second Strangers movie that we talked about, where they're these really wide, flat shots where everything is in focus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool that, you know, we'll pan down to the house and the frame is so wide, you see how big the woods are and stuff. And I like those shots. I think they're neat.
Yeah, any shot where it shows off the wilderness and the size of it all is good. I do like the shot when they're at the top of the hill and they look down, and I think it's like a zoom in on the mountain men getting into the truck and driving off and like hooting and hollering.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that's a real cool shot.
Yeah.
Because it's like that far away vantage point and it's like, oh shit, they probably know where they're going to, like, come get us somehow.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, Carly takes on the role of just crying and being all of a mess. She, like, trips in the woods and just cries.
Her fiance says, I'm going to get you out of here, and baby, we're going to get married.
That's all Jeremy Sisto can talk about. So you know that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Sorry, spoiler alert. They do get to that junkyard.
They find Coachella. It's a bunch of cars with, it looks like there's tents and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's stuff all over. It looks like day three of Coachella.
For sure it does.
Yeah.
And so they're hiding there when the three mountain men show up. And then we realize, oh yeah, you got the little guy who's running around. That's Three Finger. And then the other two among them, one of them is a big dude who I think is played by a pro wrestler, which is cool. A Canadian pro wrestler who also passed away in recent years.
So
That's a shame. But he has a hatchet or an axe and a rifle.
Okay.
So he's got a gun. And then the third dude is an archer.
I was going to say there's the archer.
He's a fucking dope-ass archer.
Which is fun.
Yeah.
I think bow and arrow is always fun when it shows up in horror.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Like it's
Year Next is a good use of it.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, yeah, it's essentially the same thing as the rifle as far as it's a ranged attack on you, but it seems so scary.
Yeah.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when we get our classic military maneuver.
Classic military maneuver. Is it Jeremy's sister that says that?
Yeah.
He's like, all right, guys, here's the plan. I'm going to cause a distraction, and you guys run the other way. So while they're chasing me, you guys will run to their truck, which
they left running.
They left running, and it's got the keys in it and stuff. And then you'll come get me. And
it's a classic.
We'll drive. Don't worry about it. It's a classic military maneuver.
Chris volunteers to do this.
That's right.
Because you got to have the main character show how brave and noble he is. So he's like, I'll go. And he runs and then gets fucking shot right away in the
lake. Amazing. Yeah. Classic military maneuver.
Yeah.
He runs.
This is when this became a joke.
3 seconds in, he gets shot through the leg with an arrow. It's so
funny. This one's the gun. It's a rifle.
Really?
That he gets shot in the leg with. Yeah.
Oh.
That just like, he takes off. Boom, he's down.
Yeah, he's down. Oh, classic shit. Then other guy's like, fuck. And then he runs.
Yeah.
Classic military maneuver.
Yeah. So Jeremy Sisto, that's when he runs off into the woods.
Got it.
And so the girls, the mountain men chase Jeremy Sisto. The girls scoop up injured bland Chris, and they get to the truck and they drive off. The plan worked. Classic military maneuver.
Yeah, so now they've got to get the other guy who's running around.
Whose name is Scott.
Scott. They got to go get Scott.
Yep, that's Jeremy Sisto.
Who is running through the woods, and they're driving next to him. They see him.
On the road, yeah. They're on the road.
They're on the road.
And he's coming down through the woods to meet them on the road. And then I like this.
I thought this
is really cool. Because you see from their point of view, Scott running towards them, and then he just kind of stops. And like, kind of looks confused, and then they're like, come on dude, let's go. And so he like starts again, and then you hear a and then he like stumbles again, and then you hear a third one, and you realize that like, oh, he's been shot from the air because he turns around and he has three arrows in his back.
Yeah,
but I just love that first one you don't see or hear.
Yeah,
you just
because
see him kind of like stop.
Your POV is you're in the car, and so the car sounds you wouldn't hear.
Yeah,
pretty much.
So I think that's really cool.
It was cool. Yeah. He gets Saint Sebastian'd.
It's a shame that Jeremy Sisto's out of the picture now.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
He was a little like quippy for my taste.
Yeah, you didn't watch
Suburgatory. You're biased because I'm
biased.
I get it.
Yeah. Because he was on the very underrated show, Suburgatory, also featuring Cheryl Hines and our boy Alan Tudyk.
Oh. Mm-hmm. You did like that show a lot.
It was a good show, dude. It was a good show.
So
now he's dead.
Yeah, and now Chris gets two chicks at the same time.
You didn't even have to get $1 million.
He is comforting Carly like he's her fiance now.
Yeah.
She's basically in his lap, and he is petting her hair and just holding her.
There is a cool shot of the mountain men approaching Scott's body. It's like a faraway shot, and they all approach from different sides of the frame, and his body's in the middle, and it's like real far away, and they all just kind of converge on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good in this movie.
Sure, yeah.
I just think overall it's kind of we've seen this all before.
Yeah.
But like the little bits, the little specifics are like, oh, man, some good stuff, good stuff.
Mm-hmm. They're in the truck. They're driving down this back road. I kept waiting for them to find Kathy Bates from Rat Race.
Selling squirrels.
Selling squirrels by the side of the road.
Hey, who wants to go home with the nice ladies, huh? Ooh, 50! Oh, don't be afraid. I don't bite. What's your name, pretty lady?
Jesse says something about how Scott died trying to protect us. You know, classic military maneuver. So they hop out of the car.
Because they run to a roadblock.
Yeah. Chris now has a Gandalf staff and is walking around with it.
Oh, yeah, because his leg's all fucked up.
Yeah, he got
so
shot.
Yeah, so he's limping.
Yeah.
Good thing he's a doctor, though.
I have a manicure watch update in my notes. Yes. They're still perfect.
Oh, okay.
They're very clean.
You know what? I'm just going to ask for a spoiler. Are they ever not?
No, they're always good.
Okay.
Yeah. Good somehow, it's amazing.
They leave the truck and they wind up at a watchtower.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They start climbing this ladder and it looks like they're on fucking Endor. It's the craziest shot. It is maybe a matte painting.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
It's definitely not real, whatever it is.
It looks so different than the rest of the movie that we just started laughing.
Yeah.
It looks like they're legitimately on another planet. It's so fucking weird. And they go up into this watchtower.
It's so high up there.
It's really, really high up.
And up there they find a radio.
Yes.
That Carly finds.
She stares at for 5 seconds and then says, "It's a radio."
She figured it out. She got it.
She got it.
Yeah.
Good job.
And they start trying to use it, and that's when the mountain men show up.
Yeah, because they radio SOS, Mayday, and no one responds back for a bit. The mountain men show up. They're carrying torches.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when the guy's like, "Oh, hey, guys, what's up? What's your emergency?" And so then the mountain men figure out they're in the watchtower.
Yeah. So here's where it gets a little frustrating.
Here's where it gets dumb, is what you mean.
Because the mountain, in many ways, my brain just was like,
it's a lot.
So the mountain men start climbing up the watchtower to get them, right? My thought is, open
they
that fucking door.
The high ground.
Yeah. Open that fucking door and drop some shit down on
Yeah, because the door is in the bottom of the watchtower.
It's the floor. Yeah.
Yeah.
So open that shit up.
It's like treehouse style. They have to crawl through the floor to get up into the watchtower.
Yeah. And start dropping. You have so much shit up
there.
Just
drop stuff on
drop
them.
Drop the radio on there. Well, maybe not. But drop all the
or
rest
just,
of the heavy
like,
shit.
Or just, like, chop their hands off.
Yeah.
Something.
They're climbing a ladder.
This is the best position you're going to be in all night.
Yeah. Instead, they block it. They barricade.
They
the
barricade
door.
Themselves
in
what
this
the
wooden
fuck?
Watchtower.
Yeah.
In this wooden watchtower from the mountain men with torches.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I wonder what's gonna happen.
Wonder. Well, I don't know.
What's
maybe
that?
They're gonna fucking light it on fire.
Oh, what's that smell?
Obviously, they light
the
it on fire.
The fucking watchtower's on fire. They're they realize, oh, they're trying to smoke us out. Yeah.
Yeah. No shit.
Yeah.
Dude, you're a doctor.
So now here's
I'm
the
a freaking
most
YouTuber and I figured that one out.
Here's the most amazing plan of all time.
Yeah, oh my God. How?
Chris comes up with the idea to jump out of the watchtower onto the trees that are next to it. And
these are
gigantic
huge trees.
I would imagine like even what, sequoias. I mean they're not, but they're
big
ass pine trees.
Yeah.
They're very, very, very high up. And so his plan is jump into the trees.
Yeah. That's the plan.
That's the plan.
Jump into the trees. The branches will stop us. And so he's like, "I'll go first." Yeah. No shit, you're going to go first because those ladies are just going to fall and kill themselves
yeah.
in this whack-ass idea.
So he jumps and he...
He's just a flying squirrel.
Yeah, it's very flying squirrel pose or circus acrobat. Like mm-hmm.
He reminded me of Robin and Batman and Robin.
Oh, yes.
Straight up with the hair and
yeah.
everything and doing this.
Oh, my
this.
God.
Yeah.
His circus life background.
Yeah.
Wow.
This might be like the continuation of that. Like maybe Batman and Robin, Batman dies, and then Robin's and like, I'm hanging
gonna,
up
I'm
the
Dick
tape.
I'm Dick Grayson now. I'm going to
yeah.
go back to join the Grayson family circus. Or
yeah,
whatever
and be a doctor and take
called.
A road trip. I don't know, man.
So then Eliza Dushku goes.
She fucking
cool. She both of the girls jump like they're jumping into a pool. It is nuts. They don't even try to put their hands out or grab anything.
She lands gut first on a branch,
yeah.
I think.
And then I think Carly jumps in like almost butt first. Like you kind of doing it. Like if you're next to a pool and someone pushes you in and you're like, oh, huh. Yeah. They just kind of act like the trees are water. And it's very weird.
And but it works.
It works.
They like go through a couple of branches and then land on bigger branches.
They
and they're
land
in
the sound stage with all the treetops in it.
Oh, yeah. The rest of this is all green screen behind
yes,
them for sure.
Because yeah.
they're walking on these fake branches.
I mean, this is when it really becomes Endor. It's
yeah.
They look like they're fucking Ewoks just walking around in these trees and this very foggy, well-lit forest. Everyone's running around in these branches like it's nothing.
Yeah, like it's a playground.
It's so...
They're just hopping from tree to tree. It's insane. And then Three Finger, the little guy, he climbs a tree to get at him. And this is when we get a cool kill.
Yeah.
This is the Golden Chainsaw right here.
Yeah.
Because Carly is like leaning up against a tree and she gets fucking decapitated.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I wrote that down.
Is it with the hatchet?
Hatchet, axe, something like that. A big blade on a stick.
Yeah.
Swings in and hits her like in the mouth level.
Yeah.
And then it's one of those weird swooping CG shots, but it's cool because like the director was like, I have a vision for this kill. And it's like, all right, we can do it with CG.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks cool because like the shot is of her. And then it like zooms out and pulls up and it looks down as all of her body below her mouth
falls
and like tumbles down the tree branches.
Ooh,
where the rest of the axe stays in the tree with the top of her head on
that's
it.
That's the sound this body makes as it's going down all these branches.
Yeah.
It sounds like they threw a bag of fruit down this, into some tree branches.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
And then Chris says,
"Sorry about your friends.
Sorry about your friends."
So Carly's dead now, and it's down to just our sexy leads.
Yeah, our single sexy leads.
And they're like, "We gotta knock this fucker out of the trees." Mm-hmm. They say that, and so he comes up with a big old plan to use a branch to friggin' launch.
This is one of the plans in this where. You know what? Decent plan.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They pull a branch back on a tree and then are like, hey, come get me. Although every time they do this, hey, come get me, it's so obviously.
Make it sound like it's not a trap, you guys.
Every time it's like, hey, I need you to come here.
I'm right here.
Yeah, I need
you. Please come murder me.
I know that it doesn't sound right, but like I'm an invitation.
Yeah.
But it works.
Yeah.
Three Finger heads over there and then straight into the line of the trap.
Yep.
And he lets go of the branch and it knocks him out the tree and he sounds like a turkey when it falls.
Then our other two mountain men are distracted because their friend just fell.
Mm-hmm.
And cut to a
waterfall.
We're not in the trees anymore.
Yep.
We skip them getting down out of the trees.
It doesn't matter.
I guess. It's fine.
It's fine. We're moving on.
We are under a waterfall now.
Yeah.
Where they've set up camp for the night.
Yeah, our sexy people.
Yeah.
Set up camp. Is there any interesting stuff that happens here?
No, this is when we learn that she is single because she just got dumped.
Oh yeah, and then kind of blames herself because this was like a Stella got a groove back camping trip.
Yeah. She gets broken up with and all of her friends immediately arrange this camping trip, so she feels like it's her fault that all her friends are dead.
Yeah.
Sorry about your friends.
And they wake up the next morning and
they find a road. On a hill and they see a road that we joked might possibly be an Acme painting
of
a road.
It's just a loony, it's a Wile E. Coyote painting of a road.
Right when they see the road and are like, we gotta get there, they get ambushed and the mountain men, because she's Eliza Dushku and the final girl, they just kidnap her. They don't kill her.
Yeah.
They keep her alive.
Yeah.
And they take her and they knock Chris down this hill. He fucking tumbles.
Oh, yeah. He looks like a sack of taters going down this hill.
Yeah, it's pretty great. But he does wind up on the road where, lucky him, a cop just happens to come across him. And he tells the cop, and this is a West Virginia cop, and in this movie, he's got to be all kind of incompetent. So he gets out there and he's like, What you doing out here, boy?
Yeah.
And Chris is like, there are people hunting us, and my friends are dead. They're dead. And this cop says, dead? What people? Arrow through the eye.
Yep, he immediately gets shot.
Yeah.
Which, duh. Oh, so then one of the mountain men shows up just when Chris is about to grab the keys for this cop car.
Yeah.
So he shoots the cop. The mountain man shows up, and Chris is hiding under the cop car now.
Yeah.
And so he grabs onto the bottom of the police car.
Yeah, he like does like a pull-up, a prone pull-up onto the car.
Yeah, and so the mountain man drives back to his house. So he just gets a lift back to where Eliza Dushku is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is great. And then, they just kind of wrap it up.
A little bit. It's a lot of around here is when I wrote down that the one mountain man looks like Riff Raff from the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
He does, yeah. Little guy.
Yeah, he's less articulate, but he looks a little bit like him.
Perhaps you'd both better
come inside. So yeah, it's basically there's a big fight that I don't really care about.
Well, he drives the police car into their building.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and he drives over one of them, yeah, pinning them to the floor.
They're basically about to start chopping up Eliza Dushku, and then bam, car out of nowhere. Chris drives the car into their house.
Yeah, and over one of them. And then fights with the wrestler dude. I think it's the wrestler dude. He stabs him, but then he comes back, and they're all like, she has to shoot him with the arrow to put him down.
Mm-hmm.
And then the little guy comes out, because you're like, did they kill the little guy when they knocked him out of the tree? Because you're not sure, but nope, he was hiding in the back room. Yeah. He's there. Don't worry. He's laughing a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And they fight. They fight a whole lot.
Yeah. At this point, we both mentioned to each other, like, the freeway probably doesn't have traffic on it anymore.
Yeah. Probably head straight back there and you'll be fine, dude.
Yeah. It's sad to think, you know what? He could have just wasted those 3 or whatever hours sitting in traffic instead of wasting 7 hours almost getting killed and watching other people get killed.
Yeah. So, although the rest of them would probably be dead.
That's true.
Yeah, they're kind of in their territory at that point.
But then he makes his appointment.
Yeah, then he can do business and
then
get those scalpels.
Then he can do business.
Yeah. He only has one shot left in the shotgun.
Oh, boy. So there's fire basically in the house.
There's fire.
I forget how it happens, but the house is on fire.
It's the end piece.
I think because of the car. I think the car, you know, when it drove into the house, fire happened.
That'll happen.
And Chris has a gun, and he has one shot left, so he's got to make it count. So him and Eliza Dushku are outside.
Come on, you motherfuckers. Just die.
He shoots the gas tanks that are sitting in the back of the truck that crashed into the house, and the house explodes, and it sounds like James Brown.
It sounds like James Brown when this house explodes. It's like, wow! And they, like, fly away from it, and we had to pause it and rewind it.
Like, the house sounded like James Brown.
Yeah, and, like...
It does, though.
It might be.
No, James thinks it might be. I think it's...
Well, they were talking about James Brown earlier.
I know, but that's an insane thing
to do.
You know
what? No, you're right. It's not James Brown. It's a James Brown imitator, and nothing's worse than a James Brown imitator.
Dude, no, that's insane. That's insane to, one, call back to that in that way.
Wow!
And I don't know.
You're the one who was like, the credits have to have the song. That
makes more sense, though.
It has to end and have it go, wow, I feel good.
Anyway, yeah, it's the best. It's like the Wilhelm scream, but it's James Brown for some reason.
So they blow up that house and they drive back to the gas station, where it looks like the gas station attendant recognizes the truck because he gets all scared when he sees it coming and hides inside. But it's not the mountain man. It's Chris and Eliza Dushku.
Mm-hmm.
And he limps out and it's funny. It's kind of funny.
It's fun. It yeah. is. Cause it's kind of like, oh, man, you won't believe the day I've had kind of bullshit. He's over it.
Because he just like silently limps from the truck to the map and rips it down and takes it and gets back in the truck all without a word.
I thought that was funny too.
Yeah.
Like they've had a long day. What?
I kind of like this movie. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's like right in the middle for me, you know?
Sure.
Because there are some things in it that I'm like, that was good, I think. What's Eliza Dushku famous from? Was she already established
by this point?
I always
think of Bring It On.
Was that before this?
This yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. This is a post-Scream movie.
Yeah.
Sexy young teens. Some established star. Yeah, named actor. A little bit of gore, but not crazy. No nudity, because those movies tend not to have that. It's not like grimy or sleazy like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is a great example of like the post-Scream slashers.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
A car drives into the credits.
Oh yeah.
Which,
because yeah, the credits
like,
start
crazy,
and then like a car interrupts them.
Yeah, and it's a cop car, and it's a cop coming to investigate this house that burnt down. Dude, what are you doing?
At night.
It's nighttime. He doesn't have the fire department. He's like, you know what? I'm going to do this on my own.
I'm going to kick around this smoldering rubble by myself at night with nothing but the headlights.
Hope nothing collapses on top of me. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And one of the mountain men is alive.
It's Three Finger, and he yells he screams as he runs at the camera. Just his turkey laugh.
And this is when I thought, okay, second chance to needle drop James Brown. And it didn't happen.
Again, five more of these movies?
How the fuck? Because you mentioned there were five more. And I thought, how the fuck? And then when I looked on the Wikipedia, I realized there were prequels. And that makes a little bit more sense, at least.
I guess.
Because there's more, you know, you can at least fill. No, what am I saying?
I don't see
what the fuck am I talking about?
I don't see either way. Because it's not like the Mountain Men. All three of them could conceivably still be alive at the end of this one.
Yeah.
So there's no need to do a prequel. Like, what's the prequel doing? Is it telling us how these mountain men came to be? Like,
I mean,
what the fuck's the... Because you know they're not... We're not going to see these characters ever again. Like, any of the
people...
Oh, what?
The prequel is these teens living their normal-ass lives?
Yeah. Like, there's no... We will never see Eliza Dushku in another Wrong Turn movie. Unless I'm wrong, I can't be wrong. There's no way, because starting with the third one, they're direct-to-video.
Okay.
So it gets one theatrical sequel, then a direct-to-video sequel, and then three direct-to-video prequels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was curious if there was an active fan base for this. Like
there
a
is.
Dedicated, there, I was doing
For sure there
research.
Is. A lot of kill count requests. People say that they're very gory.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you want some good gore? Which, no. I don't, not anymore. But
yeah,
no, I don't want to censor things. You want some good gore? Do the Wrong Turn movies. Wrong Turn 5 is crazy.
Yeah. I found some Wrong Turn fan fiction.
Written fan fiction?
Yes, I did.
Based on what? On these characters?
Uh-huh.
On Chris and Jesse?
A lot of
Where were you
fan
on the
fiction
internet,
based
hon?
On the Mountain Men.
Oh. Where?
Dan, I was Googling Wrong Turn fan base because I was curious if any or like Wrong Turn fan site to see if anything came up.
Mm-hmm.
But then Google suggested Wrong Turn fan fiction. And I was like, what do we have here? And I'm conflicted because I think it'd be so fun to read some. But also, I feel like fan fiction is a very personal thing. And it would make me really bummed out if we read any and then people went and found it and were mean.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna be a dick to someone who was just doing a fun thing for themselves, but it is incredible that it exists.
It is.
Yeah.
But then again, it came out in 2003, and back then on the internet, what else were you gonna do besides write fan fiction? Y'all really like this movie.
Yeah, people, because, I kept getting emails about it, too.
Let us know why. What?
Why do you like this?
Yeah,
tell us.
What speaks to you about this movie? Because maybe people just grew up with it.
I could see that, because it's,
Because it's fine. There's some fun moments in it that if you grew up with it, like, they stick with you.
Yeah.
Because even having only watched it a little bit, around the time it came out, because, like, this comes out, I'm 13, 14 years old, like... I didn't grow up with this. That was around the age when I started to kind of get out of horror movies for a little bit, so I didn't experience this a lot, but there were still things from it that I remember. Like, Dad, what people? I'm getting shot in the eye. Like, that's a fun moment.
One of the actresses, I think the actress that played Francine, I clicked on her Wikipedia because I was just curious with, you know, other things these people have been in. She's in another very, very fun early 2000s horror that I would love to rewatch because I saw it in theaters.
What?
Cry Wolf. Did you ever watch that?
No, I don't even know what that is.
I don't want to review too many early 2000s, late 90s movies in a row. It's very tempting for us because those are the most fun. But it's a movie basically about a group of college kids that play a version of Mafia or Werewolf.
Oh, fun.
But then people die for real. Also, Jon Bon Jovi is in it. Saw it in the theater.
Because of him?
Because of the weird viral marketing campaign it had.
Nice.
Yeah.
Was this post Blair Witch?
Yeah.
That's right.
Because there was you could play a version of the game online.
Oh, okay.
So it was basically proto, it was mafia. Mm. So my friends and I were into it.
We actually do have in mind the next movie we're going to review, but we won't say the title of it, but you should be fucking excited.
Yeah, you should be very excited.
Get hype for the next movie review.
We will say it's not an early 2000s movie.
No, it's not. It is not a 90s movie.
Nope. It's older.
It is, yeah, it is sure to be a trip. And it's going to be such a fun ride that we're going to bring along a couple of friends to review it.
Yeah.
So if you're a longtime fan of us, get extra excited.
Yeah. I will say it's a movie that James put on. And I was like, just put on something dumb I can have on in the background because I can't really like watch.
Yeah, I was going to do a review for Patreon.
Full attention right now. And 3 minutes in, we both said, we need to turn this off because it's too good.
It's too good.
Because I wanted in on that. I told James he can't just like use it for himself on Patreon. I want in on it.
Yeah.
So we're going to. So I hope that gets you excited.
Yeah, it'll be great. I'm looking very much forward to it. In the meantime, do we know what next week's episode is going to be?
No.
Okay. We'll figure it out and then you'll learn.
Yeah.
You know, a great way to stay on top of that and to find out is to follow Dead Meat on social media at Dead Meat James on Twitter and Instagram, mostly Twitter.
And I'm Carebeck, that's CAREBECC on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want merch, that's deadmeatstore.com. We just got pins back in stock.
Yep.
So
all the pins are there.
That's, I don't know when this episode's coming out. What's the date today? Today is the 24th of May, 2018.
Yeah.
So that's when we got pins back in stock.
Also, make sure if you're enjoying these episodes or even if you're not and you just want to lie to help us out, rate and review us on iTunes or whatever app you're using to listening. Mm-hmm. You're using to listen to us and rate us, you know, 5 stars.
Yep.
And is there anything else? Is that it? Cool. Well, thank you for listening and or watching. It's always a pleasure to do these. And until next time, I'm James.
I'm Chelsea.
And this has been the Dead Meat Podcast.